Man, I think everybody reincarnated from Atlantis is calling the program. We'll get your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Do you believe in reincarnation, Greg?
Oh, my. I didn't know you were going to ask that.
I know. I throw the tough questions at you in the wee hours of the morning.
That's really toughy, and my answer is I don't believe, I don't disbelieve, I don't know. I do know this. As I've said, I believe we're spiritual, and if God wants somebody to reincarnate, they will. But I don't know. I honestly do not know. My wife believes in it. Most of the people.
Casey believed it?
Yes, he did, even though he didn't want to believe it.
Wasn't he a reincarnated Atlantean himself?
He did have, when he did his own readings on his past lives, yes, he did exist in Atlantis. He did not like the fact that the readings brought out reincarnation as a reality. It violated his fundamentalist Christian ideas. And when that actually first came out, he stopped doing readings for a while, and he had kind of a reality check with his wife and his close friends because they didn't know if the readings were evil or not. It violated what they believed the Bible said. But they searched, and they eventually found some things that they believed that, okay, it might very well be true. So if the readings hurt anybody, we'll stop. That was when they made that agreement.
His son, Edgar Jr., still around, isn't he?
Edgar Evans is still around, yes. He had two sons, and one of them, Edgar Evans Casey, is still around. I believe Edgar Evans is now 89.
Yes, had him on the program a few years ago. I promoted it as an interview with Edgar Casey. I kind of threw a loop at people.
Well, he is Edgar Casey.
He is.
Just ignored his middle name.
Absolutely. But does he have any of these abilities that his father had?
He doesn't claim to, no. Edgar Evans is actually an engineer, and Edgar Evans does not, suffer fools very well. Edgar just...
He's a straight shooter.
Oh, as straight can be. I mean, he is an engineer. He's very scientific. He wrote a book on Atlantis about what Edgar Casey said about Atlantis, and it was a result of wanting to know, okay, did what my dad say about this, is it true or not? And it's a pretty straightforward book that analyzes what his father said. He also wrote a book about the areas where his father's abilities failed him.
He was very above board with that.
Yes, he was. Absolutely.
Let's go to the phones. You ready?
Yes, sir.
We'll pick it up by going to our first-time caller line. Very first time. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you calling from, my friend?
West Plains, Missouri.
Okay, take it away.
In the early 90s, I worked for a demolition crew up in Ohio, and I was in the basement of this old building, and I picked up some papers, and they happened to say that they were from Nostradamus, so I started reading them. And it said that in the mid-90s, World War III would be well underway, and the mid to late 90s, that a meteor would be headed for, should be here on Earth. It said it wouldn't hit us, but it would pass so close that we shift it back to its original axis, and that it would cause mass flooding and earthquakes. And it said that the southern coasts of the Gulf would be up in Arkansas somewhere.
Oh. Well, Edgar Casey talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds to me like that particular book added, it had Casey and Nostradamus, because I doubt Nostradamus talked much about America. I do know the date you're giving. Nostradamus talked about July of 1999. That was a very important date in Nostradamus' readings. The rest of that appears to be Edgar Casey.
Okay, thank you.
Buck, hey.
You still with us?
Yeah, didn't think much about it till right before Peter Jennings, the newscaster, died.
Yes.
He was on the news for about 15 seconds, and he said that scientists have spotted a meteor headed for Earth, and it would be here at the year 2012.
Okay, that I haven't heard that, Greg. We know about Apophis, which is coming around here in 2029 and 2036, which will come very close. I have heard of the possibility of comets coming kind of close.
Well, here's
but not a meteor.
My question to the caller, did it say where it was going to hit?
No, it did not. No, it did not.
Move.
Oh, no need to move, I don't think. But I do want to check out this comet possibility.
Yeah, I haven't heard of
something. Aguila or
2012.
Something. We'll check it out in a second. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello. Yes. This is Kevin from Anaheim.
Hi, Kevin. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you brought up three things. And by the way, I really want to believe this. I'm kind of like a reverse skeptic. However, number one, that area is known for, you know, that you were talking about the Bahamas weather. I mean, you know, hurricanes, what have you. And so the fact that there might be unusual weather isn't surprising. Another thing is the airplanes. There's a heavy drug trade in there, and anybody that's flown over there sees all kinds of failed efforts to run drugs in there. So the fact that there's a lot of downed aircraft in there is you know, very logical and very likely. And then the final thing is the wall. There's a lot of what they call mooring walls that were built in the 16th, 17th century that go out, and to avoid taxation and so forth, the ships would come in, they were low draft trade ships, and they would moor out, not in the harbor where they'd be taxed, but offshore and so forth. So you might look for iron rings, things of that nature. And again, I mean, I find this all interesting. I really hope that it's true and make the world a more interesting place. But I don't know if you've kind of taken that into the equation.
Well, you know, that's very reasoned stuff. The mooring wall, I'll address last, because that's an interesting idea you have, or at least you've read somewhere, I guess. Now, the planes. Every time we've gone to Andros, we started going there in 2003, flying all over. Everybody that saw planes on the ground immediately said, ah, they're drug runners. How do you know that? Well, they just are. Well, how do you know those are drug runner planes? Well, they have to be. That's what everybody said. Now, we have found four that we've directly investigated, and then we've found roughly another four or five on South Andros and in the water in South Andros that we have not yet directly visited. The only claim we're making, we're not saying anything, of course, weather, there's weird weather that occurs there. The only claim we're making about the Bermuda Triangle is that this is the area that's traditionally the Bermuda Triangle. One of the planes that we found is definitely one on the master list of planes that disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle. There is a master list of planes and boats, and it's put out by the BermudaTriangle.org that lists every plane and the details. Then you can click on to the FAA reports or the NTSB reports on these planes. You can get all the details of what the plane was, what its end number is, and we've simply said we are finding some of these planes that have supposedly completely disappeared into the Bermuda Triangle. We're just finding the planes. We're not saying why they crashed or how they got where they are. We're just finding them. They're not in some time warp. They didn't fall off the Earth, and they're not in some spacecraft. They're there, and we just believe we're going to find more of them. So we know we found some. Now, the mooring wall is very interesting. The only problem with that, with where this one is that this is 2 miles of water that's a foot deep before you get to the tongue of the ocean. That's the only flaw. But it's a very interesting idea, and you gave me something that we need to do, and that is we need to go to the end of this thing and start looking for mooring rings.
The Devil's Triangle. Did they ever find out what happened to those five Avenger torpedo bombers?
No, they
1945?
Have not.
I don't think so, did they?
I have I've hoped they're going to turn up, but they didn't turn south. We're looking south of Bimini. They did go right over Bimini.
That is a bizarre, bizarre case.
No kidding. It sure is.
East of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hi.
This is Glenn calling from South Texas. Wow, I'm always excited to get through.
Thanks. I'm glad you did.
What is your guest name?
His name is Gregory.
Gregory. Well, before I ask my question, let me give you the reason why I'm asking it. It seemed I don't have a problem with Casey's readings, but he seemed to be very much a man of his time. And I say that because when he was becoming a man, all the disciplines were just coming unto their own. And all the things he talks about, the pseudo-geology, the pseudo-history, the pseudo-anthropology. These are the things that men that achieved a standard of living that could read speculated about. And I just reread a compilation of Jefferson's letters and our founding fathers.
Well, how about a question here?
Speculated about these things. But what I'm saying is that it seems like this this common knowledge of ignorance is somehow being pursued as secret knowledge. And could you give me an instance where he was exactly accurate?
Well, what I'll do is this. I don't understand the term common knowledge of ignorance. I do understand pretty much everything else you said. What I would tell you to do, I understand being skeptical. Most people who are skeptical of Edgar Cayce have never looked at the medical reports that have been published in the medical literature on health readings. That's the place to start. The man helped a lot of people that had physical problems. And out of his 14,000 to 15,000 readings, you have to keep in mind, only 700 of those talked about Atlantis. The large bulk of his readings, two-thirds, were health readings. Those have been documented, studied by many physicians, and it was physicians who were acting as scientists who actually promoted and popularized Edgar Cayce. It was not Edgar Cayce himself. He was actually shocked when he became famous. That's about the best answer I can give. You've got to look at the information yourself.
Okay, good. Thanks. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yes, my name's Ken. I'm from Phoenix. You're talking about the some Earth-altering event in the year 2012. And about 20, 25 years ago, when John Paul II was elected, I read somewhere or heard somewhere, and I know I'm not making it up, that there would only be, after that, there would only be two more popes before something happened. But I've never read or heard anything about that since then. Does this ring a bell about anything?
I believe it's the prophecies of Malachi. George, you probably heard about that, I'm sure.
Yes, very old prophecies of Malachi.
That's not an Edgar Cayce.
Not Malachi Martin. Just
okay. But that's not an Edgar Cayce thing. But I do know that that was predicted. Yes.
Oh, so there's only going to be one more pope then before something happens.
Well, that's what he says.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's where I heard it then.
Yeah.
We'll know next time, won't we?
We may. We should. Thanks. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
All right. This is a question for Gregory.
Okay.
I'd be curious to know if you were, like the first caller, a few callers ago, you know, I really want to believe what you're saying, right? It would be really cool if this were all true. And I'd be curious to know if you were to drop all the references to the Edgar Cayce prophecy and the various claims of Atlantis, and I found Atlantis and this stuff off Bimini is Atlantis and this and that, which is obviously going to be a turnoff to the archaeological establishment. If you would be successful in publishing in some peer-reviewed journal of the archaeological establishment the various findings that you have discovered, supposedly, in the Caribbean Basin there. If you were just to do that, if you were to drop all of the references to anything potentially supernatural, would your findings be accepted in whatever, the Journal of the American Archaeological Society or whatever the journal is? Would your current findings about this retaining wall or mooring wall, whatever it is, and the various marble, parapets and such, would these be accepted in some sort of journal?
Well, but I don't think, Greg, you bring up the supernatural, do you?
I think that's the first thing I was going to respond to, but I changed my mind because I think he means Casey's visions being sort of supernatural, sort of. And no, we don't bring up anything supernatural. And I've answered this before, not on this show, but my answer is pretty simple. I've given up on the mainstream archaeological community. I don't really care. We're not trying to influence them anyway. What we're doing is looking for something definitive, and that is why when I mentioned that we found these stone formations on the Great Bahama Bank, we found them, and I said, okay, they got some blocks, they're sort of interesting, but they're not interesting enough for us to spend any time there because we're looking for something far more definitive. As far as the marble ruins, hey, I'll give any archaeologist alive that wants the GPS, the ability, I'll give it to them, they can go look at them. What's it going to be? They're going to say, oh, it's got to be ship cargo. That's what we're saying it is. It's probably ship cargo. Would they accept it? I don't care if they do or not. As far as the wall goes, it might be a mooring wall. That's a possibility. I hadn't thought of that before. I know it's not a retaining wall. Do I care what the archaeologists say about it? No. And they don't care what we say about it. The chances are, and I knew this when we first found it, that they're going to say it was built by pirates. And actually, this is not the Caribbean. This is the Atlantic Ocean. The Caribbean is quite a distance away. But there were a lot of pirates in the area, but they didn't build constructions like this wall that we found north of Andros. And the wall is not interesting enough. It's not definitive enough for us to do much more at.
But it could be part of a hole.
It certainly could. Yeah. That's the one thing we have to do yet, because most of it sinks into the sand. But everybody thinks that we're after mainstream acceptance. Now, we do have a few secret connections to mainstream archaeologists. And when I say secret, I mean they don't want to be known. They have...
They're afraid their peers are going to laugh at them? What?
Well, of course they're afraid. There are archaeologists that believe there was an ancient civilization long before this one. Plato called it Atlantis. They don't care about, I don't know of any archaeologists that say, I believe everything Edgar Casey said. That's not the point here. Now, it is true that we're doing our work in conjunction with the Casey organization's Search for Atlantis project. It's just kind of an umbrella. They don't fund us at all. We are self-funded. We are going out looking for this maritime culture. But I don't care if the mainstream archaeologists believe what we find or not. We're looking for the definitive thing, and when we find the definitive thing, then we'll let people know, and anybody can go look at it. That's the way it is now.
All right, Greg. Well, when we come right back, we will open up the phone lines. We'll give everybody a final chance to ask you a question. Fascinating evening with you. Dr. Greg Little, as we talk about Edgar Casey's Atlantis. Gosh, I would hope that we would find the Hall of Records somewhere. Wonder what they'd have. Well, tomorrow night, barring any earth-wide catastrophe, we're going to have a little fun on the program as we talk about how some people in the TV land have had paranormal experiences. It's just going to be a fun program, so just make sure you're part of it on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, it's our final segment. Boy, this night's flying by, Gregory.
Yeah, tough audience, George.
Well, some of them are, absolutely. Yeah, well, you know, you were this way. You were the skeptic a long time ago.
Well, that's true.
Why? Why were you?
My background is science. That's probably why. I believe in empirical information. I mean, what we're presenting is empirical. It's verifiable. Anybody can see it. The mistake people make is in thinking that we're trying to influence mainstream archaeology. We're not. We're trying to find out the truth, not change what archaeologists happen to be thinking at any given time. And archaeology is a very slow, plodding area that uses scientific methods, but it should not be mistaken as science.
EdgarCasey.org is one of your two or three websites, right?
Yeah, and mysterious-america.net. And the Casey organization sends out a lot of free information. Can I give their toll number?
Absolutely. It's a great organization.
It's a nonprofit organization. If you want info, they'll send it to you. It's 800-333-4499.
And all you got to do is do a Google search for ARE.
Oh, you'll find it.
And it pops up. It's a good organization. Great. So, you know what? I have gone on there in the past to look at some of his alternative health remedies.
Yes.
And absolutely phenomenal stuff.
A lot of, if you read, Dr. Peter Gott has this national syndicated column, and Gott has been recommending a number of different remedies. One of them is castor oil.
Yep.
And every time he talks about castor oil, all these Casey people say, that's what Edgar Casey was talking about.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. There's a company, I'm not going to mention their name,
right,
but they have developed products based on Edgar Casey's readings.
Right. They ought to be advertising on your show.
Oh, yeah, they really should.
Yes, they should. I know the company you're not naming, and I won't name them either.
Tell them to email me then.
I will.
We'll get them. They're good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
My name is Pat. I'm calling from San Diego.
Hi, Pat. Go ahead, hon.
My first question is, you know the guy that was telling the story about the lady in the library?
You were breaking up a little bit, Pat. One more time.
The guy that was telling the story about the lady in the library, please let him finish that story. And my second question was, can you hear me?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Do you, Greg?
I'm sort of clueless.
So am I.
It was breaking up too much. That's the problem, Pat. Sorry.
First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Great show. Great show.
Thanks.
Love the entertainment you give me at home here every night.
Are you welcome.
Listen, what I'm wanting to ask is a little different. It's not right on your subject, but you or Greg, how does the guy get into all of this? I don't, you know, whatever it is, how do you get into this adventure? Do you all take on the everyday guy and you need people for labor on your boat or anything?
You know, that's a good question, and we are asked that fairly often. When you talk about adventure, wherever your interests lie, I think we limit ourselves a couple of ways. One is by imagination, and real life impinges on people a lot. I was not able to really travel as much as we do now when I had to work a whole lot. I had to be around. I had all kinds of programs and things I was responsible for. How did we do it? At a certain point, actually, it was around the year 2000 or so, we simply had a little more time, and we simply decided we can do these things that I've always wanted to do. So I just started planning these trips, and the more I planned them, it's the logistics that kill you, and it's the logistics that make the trip. And the logistics are arranging the plane, finding the right people, finding places to stay, doing whatever it takes to be safe. You simply plan a trip and do it. And we started in America on American Indian mounds. And there are many of those mounds still remaining. And we started making trips that way. And we simply expanded. We went to Egypt. We've been all over Mexico, all over Yucatan. And then we started in this boat stuff because of Andrew Collins from England. I just decided we can find what he's talking about. And we got into it simply by deciding we can do this. Now, as far as taking help, the only person that has ever really gone with us is the archaeologist, Bill Donato. And the part of the reason is these boats are fairly small, and these trips, some of them, almost hesitate to say this, they're very, very dangerous. And we have worried about the liability of taking people. There's many people that would like to go. There's all kinds of problems that can happen, and you got to be prepared for them. So we're willing to take the liability on ourselves, obviously. But we're very, very cautious about anybody else, although we are going to expand it a little bit this coming year.
You're looking for the 120,000 gold coins, aren't you?
Actually, if we were, we'd spend all of our time on Bimini. So the answer to that is no. We stay as far clear from that search for gold as we can, because as I said, it is still ongoing. There are still people looking for the gold.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
How much is that? 120,000 coins. How much is a coin worth?
The gold coins, probably they're supposedly.
Are they 1 ounce coins?
That weigh a couple ounces apiece. So multiply it times 700,
let's say,
times 2 times 120,000. There you go.
That's a lot of money. I'll
yes,
be figuring that out here by hand. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? Here. Gotta go. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Hi, George.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is William from Wichita, Kansas. And I'm an advocate believer in your show, and I just love your guest.
Well, thank you.
Greg Little? Is that right, Dr. Greg Little?
Yeah, that's him.
All right. Hey,
go ahead.
Well, I have a question to him about the Bimini Crystal Ball.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about, the Dr. Ray Brown's crystal, aren't you?
Right. Good doctor. Yeah. He found that. You know, I'm a mystic, and I'm a a medium. But you know, I kind of freaked out your staff when I told him that somebody wanted to speak to you. And I don't want to freak out your callers or nothing like that either, you know.
So how about a question?
Yes.
Do you have one? Man, I think Edgar Cayce is sending us reincarnated Atlanteans.
I don't know what happened there. When he was saying, I had a strange experience. The only time I've ever been in Wichita, I watched a tornado go by my window. But I do know about that crystal. I haven't said this. We've started searching the Berry Islands. That's where a chiropractor by the name of Ray Brown supposedly found a pyramid under the water and removed a large crystal from the apex of the pyramid.
I think that last caller actually wanted psychic questions thrown his way.
I do not know what he wanted.
He can do that on a Friday. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing, George? This is Robin from Midland, Texas.
Okay, Robin.
I got a caller. I got a question for the pre-guest.
Yeah, he's waiting for you.
Okay. Does he know? Has he read anything about the mothership in prophecy?
No, not really.
Not really?
No.
But she basically talks about this one particularly about the comet hitting the Earth around 2012.
And now George wanted to know about that. So
yeah, you see that, and that's another one that I just can't find any place. I mean, I think the 2012 episode is going to be a celestial event. The Mayans were in on it, unless the Hall of Records gets found then.
So then, now you're putting pressure on us.
That's possible. That is possible. If you found these 32 tablets, I guess that's what they would be, right?
Yeah, I'll sell them on eBay right away.
No, you wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't do that.
That you wouldn't do.
We have thought about what in the world we would do. I don't think we'd remove them from anything unless they were in jeopardy.
What are some of the things they'd say?
Well, I don't think we'd be able to read anything on it. I think it's going to be in a language that is not easily decipherable. In fact, Cayce said that. He said after they're found, it'll take some time for anyone to translate and decipher them. But finding them, there's a lot of other things in that chamber known as the Hall of Records, not just 32 tablets. See, now I'm talking like you.
Wild card line, your turn. Go ahead, please.
Who, me?
Yes.
Wow, my reception sucks. Okay, so I have a question for either one of you, however you want to look at it. I was wondering if there might be a secret society, you know, like the Knights of the Templar, who are supposedly gone, but you never know, or something like that, that might know about Atlantis and know what's going on and doesn't want anybody to know. Like, say, the guy that's in charge of all the archaeological stuff in Egypt, who obviously knows there's something at the base of the Sphinx that won't be...
Well, that's possible. And you know, with submarines, Greg, don't you think they have mapped the ocean floor?
I believe they have. Well, we know a lot. Yes, they have mapped all of it, but really shallow areas. And that if you go to the Bahamas, you're talking about an area that's maybe 200 by 200 square miles, 200 by 200 miles of area where a sub can't go. It's just too shallow. So all of the deep sea is mapped. Yes, there is no doubt at all about that. And I have noticed if you go to Google, you can see this underwater wall that we found north of Andros. But if you go to Google and you look out on the Great Bahama Bank, you can't see any, Google Earth, you can't see any of these formations that we found. It's all pixelated. I don't know why, although we did find that going across the bank, going to Autech, which is the underwater submarine bases on Andros, we found a cable that had been exposed by a storm that must have run all the way from Florida to there. We followed it for about 10 miles till it disappeared.
East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Go for it.
I'm Nancy from Rochester, Minnesota.
Okay.
Hey, I got a question. You were talking about, like, the crystals. Would they those crystals be related, or if you know anything about, like, the crystal skulls?
I do know some about the crystal skulls. Not a great deal, but they probably are the similar in composition. Quartz crystal is what the crystal skulls are made out of. If you want to do a little experiment, if you have any crystals at home, it's pretty dark probably where you are in Minnesota. Take two crystals, go into total darkness, wear some gloves when you do this, and rub them together and just look. Rub them together kind of fast and watch the light come out of them.
Really? A dim light or pretty bright?
It depends. The brightest light you can get is if you do it in a bathtub. Have all the lights out, fill the bathtub with water, put the two crystals down in the tub, and rub them together. Rub them together kind of hard. The first show I came on, when Art Bell was hosting it, he came back after a break and said he did that, and because I'd explained it, and he said, you know what? It worked. It does work. It's called the piezoelectric effect. You are actually releasing energy that is stored within the quartz crystal.
And you just got to rub them back and forth.
Just rub them back and forth. But do wear gloves if you do it if you do it outside of water, because you can cut your hands.
And, yeah, that's true. International Line, you're up with us. Hello there.
Morning.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
How are you doing? I'm calling for 6:40 a.m. in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if your guest knows anything about the supposed find of Noah's Ark in the Ararat Mountain Range. I heard about it some years ago. I've heard nothing about it recently.
When I was actively writing the ARE's Ancient Mysteries newsletter, I think one of the last articles I wrote was the kind of the final word on the what was called the Ararat Anomaly. And, George, you probably had guests on discussing Noah's Ark, I would assume.
Yes, we have. And the reason why there hasn't been any new information coming, of course, it's still very difficult for people to get there.
Yes.
The government there is just not giving
permission.
The Kurds are still there. There's still some skirmishes. It's pretty dangerous.
Right now it's impossible. The Turkish government supposedly isn't allowing any permits for people to climb.
There was a shuttle picture of what people purported to be Noah's Ark there. Then there was, of course, the long-time historical thought that there was the Ark that looked like a piece of mound or dirt.
Right. I remember that, too. I don't remember what it was called.
Late astronaut went there.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Irwin, I believe his name.
Yeah.
And he, started his mission. Look, biblically, I believe it happened. I where it is, who knows exactly.
That's the best. You just gave a better answer than I can give.
And you know what? When the glaciers all melt, it may be there.
Well, maybe we can reuse it then, too.
We may need it. First-time caller line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. This is Steve from Ontario, Canada.
Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Yes, my question for Greg is that maybe I was wondering, because of the fact that it's so hard to find these records and the fact that there's not too much stuff around that pertains to it, that maybe we weren't supposed to find it. And I'll listen to my call on the radio. Thanks.
Sure.
Maybe we're not supposed to find it, Greg, huh?
That is, Stacy said, we're not going to find it till we have the right attitude. It's not just the people that are searching for it. They need to have the right attitude. But he said that society needed to be ready for it, whatever it means.
What if it...
I mean, if we came up with 32 tablets, how many skeptics would say, yeah, those are the 32 tablets from Atlantis, even if they had it written on it and somebody from Harvard deciphered it and it said, these are the 32 tablets from Atlantis. How many skeptics would accept it anyway?
Not a lot.
Are we ready for that kind of information?
But what if the information has allowed governments to do things, incredible things? Secrets.
Well, I just can't go there. I don't know. I don't think it's been found. I don't think any of the records have been found yet. I think we know where two are pretty much for certain. One in Guatemala, I think we know precisely
right
where it is, and one in Egypt. The one around, it's supposedly on Poseidia near Bimini, I don't think we have found yet.
See, the Egyptian one, I just think they dug it up.
I don't think they've been in there yet. I'm pretty sure of that. I think they know
where it is.
They're trying to figure out how to get in without destroying, having it collapse.
and having the whole population know what they're doing.
I don't think they know. I do recall vividly Zahi Hawa saying to a group of us at the ARE, he actually has some support of the Casey organization. He said what he is dealing with in problems is that there were people breaking into his house, going into his bathroom, because they were convinced that he had a tunnel from his bathroom to Giza leading to the Hall of Records.
Did you know he got his PhD in 87 from the University of Pennsylvania?
Yes, I did know that.
Did you?
I know the background there, and it's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yep.
I don't want to
look, he's an energetic guy. He loves what he's doing. He, of course, is not open to the fact that the Egyptians didn't build the pyramids. He will not back down on that.
No, he won't, and he can't. I got a feeling if Zahi said it wasn't them, I don't think he'd be alive very long.
Well, I don't know about that, but he sure wouldn't be heading up Egypt's antiquities department.
Well, Egypt is not fundamentalist yet, but Egypt has constant revolutionaries that are trying to destabilize the government. And Egypt, 90% of Egypt's economy is based on people visiting the archaeological sites. If they disrupt the archaeological sites, the economy collapses, and that's what causes a revolution. They're in a tough position there.
All right, my friend. We're out of time. Good luck on your next journeys, Greg.
Great show, George. It's always a pleasure.
Fascinating. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.